Let's continue in our studies of the book of Exodus by reading Exodus chapters 37 and 38. In these chapters, Exodus chapters 37 and 38, we have the construction of the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat, the table for the bread, the lampstand, the altar of incense, the bronze altar, the laver, and the hangings of the courtyard. We also have a record of the amount of the various metals used in the construction of the tabernacle and its furnishings. Let's begin by reading the first 9 verses of Exodus 37. Then Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits was its length, 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. He overlaid it with pure gold inside and outside, and made a molding of gold all around it. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold to be set in its 4 corners, 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other side of it. He made poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. And he put the poles into the rings at the sides of the ark to bear the ark. He also made the mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits was its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. He made 2 cherubim of beaten gold. He made them of 1 piece at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. 1 cherub at one end on this side, and the other cherub at the other end on that side. He made the cherubim at the 2 ends of 1 piece with the mercy seat. The cherubim spread out their wings above and covered the mercy seat with their wings. They faced one another. The faces of the cherubim were toward the mercy seat. Let's begin our study this morning with some background notes. Now, as you read through these verses, the best way to appreciate what you're reading is to have a set of diagrams or a model of the tabernacle before you. Or better yet, diagram the tabernacle and its furnishings yourself as you're reading through all of these details. And remember, a cubit is about 18 inches. Guess what detail of construction I'd like to know more about as I read these chapters. I'd like to know more about how the rings were fastened to the items for carrying. Did they have some kind of screws in that day? Did they have some kind of super glue? Did they have some kind of epoxy? Duct tape? Right. Did they have some kind of duct tape? We don't know. Now, we've all had knobs and rings that break and fall off our furniture because they were not fastened well enough, right? Well, these rings would have taken some rough treatment over the 40 years of travel in the wilderness. So Bezalel and the other skilled craftsmen must have come up with a great way to fasten these rings. And remember, we've seen that Bezalel was filled with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all kinds of craftsmanship, including how to best fasten the rings for carrying the tabernacle furnishings. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for these chapters. Doctrinal point number 1, records should be kept of ministry accomplished. Records should be kept of ministry accomplished. Here in the first 9 verses of Exodus chapter 37, we have the record of the construction of the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat. Here the blood of the atoning sacrifice was sprinkled once a year on the Day of Atonement in the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle to cover the sins of the nation before God. Remember, to cover is the basic meaning of the word atonement. What a wonderful spiritual picture we have here of the means by which our sins are covered before God with the blood of Christ who gave his life for us. In verses 10 through 16 of Exodus 37, we have the record of the construction of the table of bread. Remember, this bread was the food for the priest and typifies Christ as the bread of life. Let's read some of these verses. Bezalel made the table of acacia wood. 2 cubits was its length, 1 cubit its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And he overlaid it with pure gold and made a molding of gold all around it. He made of pure gold the utensils which were on the table, its dishes, its cups, its bowls, and its pitchers for pouring. In verses 17 through 24 of Exodus 37, we have the record of the construction of the lampstand. Let's read some of these verses. Exodus 37, beginning now at verse 17. He also made the lampstand of pure gold, of hammered work. He made the lampstand. Its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs, and its flowers were of the same piece. And 6 branches came out of its sides, 3 branches of the lampstand out of one side, and 3 branches of the lampstand out of the other side. And he made its seven lamps, its wick trimmers, and its trays of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold he made it, with all its utensils. Remember from Exodus chapter 25, the lampstand is a spiritual picture of Christ as the light of the world. The fact that the light came from the oil supplied to the seven individual lamps of the lampstand portrays that Christ as the light of the world is seen through believers who are indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Lord Jesus not only said, "I am the light of the world," John 8:12, but "you are the light of the world," Matthew 5:14. In verses 25 through 29 of Exodus 37, we have the record of the construction of the altar of incense, or golden altar. Remember from Exodus chapter 30, the altar of incense portrays Christ as the basis of our acceptable worship of God. And the incense offered represents our Christ-centered prayers and praises. Let's read some of these verses. He made the incense altar of acacia wood. Its length was a cubit and its width a cubit. It was square and 2 cubits was its height. Its horns were of one piece with it. And he overlaid it with pure gold, its top, its sides all around, and its horns. He also made for it a molding of gold all around it. He also made the holy anointing oil and the pure incense of sweet spices according to the work of the perfumer. In verses 1 through 7 of chapter 38, we have the record of the construction of the bronze altar of sacrifice. Remember from our studies in Exodus chapter 27, the bronze altar is a spiritual picture of the cross of Christ, and all the sacrifices offered here were blood sacrifices. All of these sacrifices typify in some way the various aspects of the personal work of Christ. Let's read some of these verses. He made the altar a burnt offering of acacia wood. 5 cubits was its length and 5 cubits its width. It was square and its height was 3 cubits. He made its horns on all its 4 corners. The horns were of one piece with it, and he overlaid it with bronze. He made all the utensils for the altar, the pans, the shovels, the basins, the forks, and the fire pans. All its utensils he made of bronze. And he made a grate of bronze network for the altar under its rim midway from the bottom. He cast 4 rings for the 4 corners of the bronze grating as holders for the poles. And he made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with bronze. Then he put the poles into the rings on the sides of the altar with which to bear it. He made the altar hollow with boards. In verse 8, we have the record of the construction of the bronze laver. Remember, the continual priestly washings of the laver portray the continual washing of the word that we as priests need because of the defiling effects of sin in our lives. Verse 8, he made the laver bronze and its base of bronze from the bronze mirrors of the serving women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. In verses 9 through 20 of Exodus 38, we have the record of the construction of the court of the tabernacle. Remember also from our studies in Exodus chapter 27, the tabernacle courtyard portrays the way of worship. From the one gate, which portrays Christ as the only way to God, beyond the bronze altar of sacrifice, in which we see the cross of Christ, to the washings of the laver, and then into the holy place, and finally into the Holy of Holies, and the very presence of God himself. The fact that detailed records were kept of all this construction work accomplished is significant. We too should keep records of work that is accomplished for the Lord, as individuals, as ministries, and as churches. Illustration: just a few days ago, I was going over the record of what books of the Bible we've studied in our Tuesday morning men's Bible study. Even keeping records like this helps to guide us as to balance in our study of God's truth. Another illustration: keeping records of ministry accomplished helps churches see what programs worked and what programs did not work, and even why they worked or why they didn't work. Records should be kept of ministry accomplished. Doctrinal point number 2: records should be kept of money spent. Records should be kept of money spent. Verses 21 through 31 of Exodus 38. This is the inventory of the tabernacle of the testimony, which was counted according to the commandment of Moses, for the service of the Levites by the hand of Ithamar, son of Aaron, the priest. All the gold that was used in all the work of the holy place, that is, the gold of the offering, was 29 talents and 730 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary. And the silver from those who were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary. The offering of bronze was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. As many of you can see from your noted Bibles, there was a lot of gold and silver and bronze used in the construction of the tabernacle. As much as 2,800 pounds of gold, as much as 9,600 pounds of silver, and as much as 6,700 pounds of bronze. Remember, according to Exodus chapter 12, they brought all of this material with them from Egypt. Now, how did Moses know exactly the amount of these valuable metals used for the tabernacle when he wrote the book of Exodus? Answer, they kept records. And so should we keep records of money spent in the work of the Lord. When the Lord said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 3, "When you give alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing," he did not mean don't keep records. He meant be generous in meeting needs and in supporting the work of the Lord. But it is biblical to keep records of money spent for the work of the Lord. When Ezra returned to Jerusalem from Babylon with the former captives, one of the first things they did was to record the weights of the money that they brought to be used for the building of the restored temple of the Lord. They did this to ensure that nothing had been lost or stolen, and so that they would know the amount of money spent on the house of the Lord. When the Apostle Paul brought alms to Jerusalem from the various churches to meet the needs of the saints, faithful Christians were put in charge of these funds for accountability and record keeping. Growing Christian ministries keeps a record of every dime that comes in and every dime that is spent. Records should be kept of money spent in the work of the Lord. What about practical application from these chapters, Exodus 37 and 38? Use your mirrors for the Lord. Use your mirrors for the Lord. Verse 8 of chapter 38. Bezalel made the laver of bronze and its base of bronze from the bronze mirrors of the serving women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Mirrors in those days were not made of glass, but polished bronze. The women who helped around the tent of meeting gave their bronze mirrors, which were turned into the bronze laver. Now, do you see the obvious spiritual lesson and practical application here? We can take what enhances our personal glorification, mirrors, and give it to the Lord for His glory. Illustration. You know, I recently heard about a very talented and creative Christian who is a highly paid designer of Disney projects and theme parks. This man has offered his services at considerable sacrifice to the Answers in Genesis ministry in order to head up and coordinate all the design work and projects that will make up their new creation museum. Praise the Lord. What are you doing with your mirrors? Use your mirrors for the Lord.